help us to commence this evening with hymn 1079. Eternal source of joys divine, to thee my soul aspires. Oh, could I say, the Lord is mine, 'tis all my soul desires. 1079.
Thank you. Our reading this evening is taken from the Gospel recorded by John, chapter 3. The third chapter in the Gospel recorded by John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. For I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. They came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth. And all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what ye have seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Almighty God, may we be found among those who flee from that wrath to come to the wounds of Jesus. May we be found among those who have living, precious faith in a living, precious Christ. May it not be said of us, but we believed not. Make us, Lord, real believers this night in thy beloved Son, even Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word we have read. We ask that it may be made manna to our souls, the bread of life sent down from heaven. We ask thy blessing upon it. Help us, Lord, to meditate in thy truth this night and reveal Jesus Christ unto us as that friend of sinners. And Lord, we come this night as sinners, needing mercy. Mercy through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. May we prove this evening there's mercy in the heart of God still for those who come through that precious name. That name which is above all names, the name of Jesus. Help us, most gracious Holy Trinity, to worship thee tonight, as thou deservest to be worshipped. And though we cannot worship thee this night in the way that the spirits of just men around the throne made perfect worship, yet, Lord, this evening may our worship be as close to that as it is possible for poor sinners on earth to be. May the world, the flesh, the devil, all that would distract, be removed. May Christ be found within these doors and within our hearts. And may we be completely taken up with a triune God. And may we worship and adore thy holy majesty, adoring at our Father's throne. We ask thee, Lord, to draw near and speak to us this night. Speak to us the word of life, the word of God. Speak the word of power, the word of love, the word of authority, the word of a king. May there be almighty power this night. May lives be changed. May hearts be softened. May sinners be called by divine grace. And may saints know that continual call, that continual direction in the journey of faith, in that journey of life, the narrow way to heaven. Draw near, Lord, this night, and reveal in the scriptures the things concerning thyself. And grant, Lord, that there may be united heart burning this night in love to thee. We pray for this people. We commend them to thee. Again, gracious God, we especially commend to thee Jeremy and Hannah in the loss of a child. And we pray this night that thou wouldst draw near unto them and comfort their hearts. May they be able to know that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be with any other, Lord, who are walking in a path of difficulty, of sorrow, of distress. Lord, this evening may they too know that God reigns, that God cares, that God has not forsaken. And we pray thy richest blessing upon this people. We ask thee, Lord, if it could be thy will, to grant that every one that gathers here week by week may be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May none be left out. Bless and help the deacons in the office that thou hast called them to. And bless each member of this church. May it be a growing church. May it be a growing congregation also. May they grow in grace and in knowledge and in fruit. And bless the preaching of thy word here. And grant, gracious and holy God, that thy kingdom may come in this place, in the hearts of many. Grant thy divine direction in the way that they should go. Let thy arm be their protection from the power of every foe. Keep Satan out, Lord. And may this people often know what it is to be with Jesus under the shadow of the Almighty. And we pray for those causes represented this night from other causes of truth. May they too know thy blessing. And may they be blessed this evening as they worship here. And bless, we pray, thy people as they gather in the various congregations up and down this land, and indeed throughout the world. Bless thy servants as they labour and preach. Grant that help to exalt a precious Christ, and to point sinners to him. Help us, Lord, now as we turn to thy word. Appoint for us a blessing, we pray. And may we not worship this night in vain. We ask to feel a blessing sweet, a union sweet. We ask a blessing on thy word. We ask, but all our askings meet in this. We ask thy presence, gracious Lord. And we ask it in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Number 23.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I ask you to turn to the Gospel recorded by John, chapter 3, reading verses 14 to 17. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These precious words are in response to a question, an unbelieving question. How can these things be? And yet, what a precious answer did Nicodemus receive. And as we know from the subsequent history, Nicodemus was among those who did not perish, but who did afterwards believe on the Son of God. And here Jesus takes Nicodemus back into ancient history, right back to when the children of Israel sinned. You remember the occasion, children of Israel were nearing the end of their journey. They could see the promised land. All that remained for them was to go through the land of Edom, and they would be there. There was great rejoicing in the camp, their journey's end in view. Hard toil almost over, rest anticipated. But the Edomites would not let them pass through the land. And because they were the children of Esau, and therefore brethren to the Israelites, God would not let the children of Israel attack them. So they had to go round Edom, which meant a considerable detour to their journey. And because of this, the children of Israel complained and murmured against God. and against Moses. The words they used in the 21st chapter of Numbers. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. The Lord heard one minister once said, the Lord hears our prayers and our praises. And he hears our murmurings too. When the people ask for water, the Lord gave them the smitten rock. When the people needed bread, day by day the manna fell from heaven in answer to their need. When the people cried unto the Lord, the Red Sea divided. When they needed the waters of Marah to be sweetened, the Lord answered their need with a tree. But when they had nothing to complain about, the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. Again, as a minister said, the Lord gave them something to complain about. Be careful how you complain. God hears, and he'll answer. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died in judgment. They had no cause to complain that they were going to die. The promised land was in view. All they had to do was to walk a few more weeks than what they wanted to, and they would be there. They had bread and water in the manna and the smitten rock. They despised what the Lord had done and what he had given for them. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. And he did exactly what they said and complained. Much people died. They never got to the promised land because of their complaining. When the people acknowledged their sin and acknowledged they had spoken against the Lord and against Moses, Moses, showing yet again a wonderful spirit, prays for the people. The people who had treated him so unkindly, yet again, he prays for them. And the Lord answered in this unusual way. He was to make a likeness of the serpents which had bitten them. He was to put it upon a pole high enough for everyone to view. And God promised that it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. That was the remedy. Maybe they had tried other remedies before they went to prayer. Or maybe this evening you're trying to remedy things yourself, in your life, in your problems, in that difficulty, that insurmountable obstacle that has come into your life. You spent hours scheming about it and talking about what you're going to do, and it's all gone wrong. Stop scheming. And start praying. Leave it in God's hands. And he'll work wonders. He may do it in an unusual way. But he'll deliver you. But it's his will that you be delivered by his hand, not by yours. Vain was bandage in this case, oil or plaster. Rankling venom killed the faster. Till the serpent Moses took reared it high. That all might view it, bid the bitten. Look up to it, life. Attended every look. Now there were some who were very near this serpent. And they could see very clearly the workmanship. They could clearly define its shape and its scales and its eyes and its shape. They could very clearly have told you in great intimate detail about this serpent. When they looked, they were healed. Some were on the outside of the camp. And all they could see in the distance was this shape. They couldn't even perhaps clearly design that it was a serpent. But they lived just as much as those who could clearly see it. The promise stood good. Though they were afar off, they looked, they lived. Even though they couldn't see it clearly, one look was enough. Child of God, one look at Jesus is enough. Even though you might not see as clearly as you would like, as clearly as others see, one look is enough. Some had been bitten and were still fairly strong. Others were at the very point of death. Some had only just received the bite, some perhaps had longer received it, and the venom had almost run its course. Both looked, both cases were met, both were delivered, both lived. Jesus, thus for sinners smitten, wounded, bruised, serpent bitten, to his cross directs our faith. Why should we then poison cherish? Why despair of cure and perish? Look, poor soul, though stung to death. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. There was one remedy for that plague. The people didn't have to do anything other than look. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And as that serpent was lifted up, that serpent is a type of Christ. Christ was lifted up on that cross at Calvary when he died. See the Lord of glory dying. See him gasping. Hear him crying. See his burdened bosom heave. Look, ye sinners. Ye that hung him. Look how deep your sins have stung him. Dying sinners, look and live. If the children of Israel tried any other remedy, they perished. Beloved friends, if we try any other remedy for our sin, then this remedy, God's remedy, we will surely perish eternally, because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. To try any other remedy is an act of unbelief. The Son of Man was lifted up on that cross. For the sins of others. You say to me this evening, but I'm only a little sinner. I'm not as bad as others. There's no such thing as a little sinner in God's eyes. And one sin is enough to shut you out of the kingdom of God. Bishop Ryle, first bishop of Liverpool, took this point up in his day in one of his sermons. He said this: supposing in a day you're active for, say, 15 hours a day. Suppose we take you at your word that you're only a little sinner and you only sin twice an hour. Realize in a decade you will have sinned nearly 100,000 sins. Do you realize that if you lived 85 years, you would have sinned 908,000 sins? Are you still going to say you're a little sinner? Every one of those sins is going to be punished. Every one of those sins you are going to give an account for. And friends, if that's the best estimate, if you're honest, what is the real estimate of how guilty we are before God? Because surely, if you and I are honest, we would have to admit we sin much more than twice an hour. So what must that real sum be? Don't let Satan deceive you, friend, that you are a little sinner. Because you're not. You're a great sinner in great need. And the only one who can supply that need is the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The only way those sins can be washed away, taken away from your account, is through this precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was lifted up at Calvary. Sins against a holy God. Sins against his righteous laws. Sins against his love and blood. Sins against his name and cause, sins immense, as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. And hymn writer goes on to say, true, I can't deserve to share in a favour so divine. But since sin first fixed thee there, none of greater sins than mine. If you are under the influence of the Spirit of God, which you need to be if you're going to get to heaven, you'll be brought to see that there is no greater sinner than you. You'll feel it. You'll have to come there, that you are the chiefest of sinners, that you are the worst of sinners, that you are the most deserving of God's wrath. And if this evening you come into the Lord's house feeling like that, then our text this evening is good news to you. And that's what the gospel means. It means good news, good tidings. And here we have the tidings from the Saviour's own lips. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says here, whosoever. That doesn't leave out the worst of cases, does it? It includes them. Come to God as a whosoever. This evening you cannot come to God, can you, feeling to be elect? Then try what coming before him as the chiefest of sinners does. Was there any case in Scripture when Jesus sent away a poor creature in need? Sent away the proud Pharisee. but you'll not find one case in Scripture when he turned away one in need. Why do you think he'll begin with you? He has said through the apostle, Christ Jesus came into the world to save the chiefest of sinners. And so this evening you can go to God as the chiefest, as the whosoever. Plead this word. Venture on this word. Trust in this word. Whosoever believeth in him. And what is it to believe? It's to come. What is it to believe? It's to pray. What is it to believe? It is to flee to Christ as a poor sinner with your sin, with your need, with your hopelessness, with your helplessness, with your despair, with your past and present failure, and you know you don't have any future good to bring. It's to come with all that, to come to Jesus just as you are. And to seek for mercy. To seek for pardon. To seek for forgiveness. Through this name, the name of Jesus, that's what it is to believe. Have you ever believed like that? You say, I haven't yet received the pardon of my sin as I would like. Then carry on pleading. You will receive it in God's time. Carry on looking. You've got nowhere else to go, have you? Like those Israelites, where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to look? They could only look one way, that brazen serpent. Where else are you going to look? If you turn away from Christ, where else is there a place of safety? None. Carry on. Don't let Satan tell you it's no use. Don't let Satan tell you it's too late. Don't let Satan tell you you've gone too far this time. Can't get beyond this word, whosoever. Jesus still saves the chiefest of sinners. Jesus still receives sinners and eats with them and welcomes them. You might wonder what the significance of that was. It's this, that the Pharisees would not eat with those who they considered to be sinners. Not only would they not eat, they banned anyone who followed them from doing the same, because they thought that they would be polluted and defiled if they ate with those who they regarded to be sinners. They looked down and despised them. But Jesus isn't like that. He loves the coming sinner. He loves to hear the beggar's knock. He loves to hear you cry for mercy. He loves to hear you plead for pardon. He doesn't love your sin. He hates your sin. But coming sinner, he has a love for you, and you're going to prove it. You are already proving it, because he's drawing you to himself. By precious faith. And that word faith means trust. You say this evening, I don't feel to have faith. Then why are you praying? Why are you asking someone for forgiveness if you do not trust them? The very fact you're praying this evening, and the very fact you are continuing in prayer, is a mark of faith. Go on praying. You're coming into the text we preach from this morning. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. He's spoken good concerning you. You say, what good has he spoken? I'll tell you what he's spoken. And listen, here's God's word to you, seeker, tonight. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. He will not cast you out. Plead it. Say, I don't feel to be given. But remember, who are those who are given? Those who come to him in prayer with their need. One of the fruits of being given to the Son by the Father is that we come to him in prayer. Ask God to show you you're among the given. But don't let that keep you away. Plead the prayer, plead the promise. That him who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means under no circumstance. However great your need, however deep your debt, however bad you may have been, however low you may have sunk, however far you may have strayed, the door is not shut. That word encompasses you, whosoever. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And those of you who have proved him before, prove him again. Come back to him with your sin, the sins that you've committed since your conversion. And prove again that he remains faithful. We don't cease to need that promise, do we? After we're called by grace, we need it every day. But it's there every day. He doesn't change. He doesn't withdraw the promise. Even though we treat him so disgracefully in our walk and conduct, he is faithful to his word. He is mighty, and to save the lost he came. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not the righteous, not the self-righteous, not those who don't think they have any sin. Not those like the Pharisee who thought they were better, didn't come to call them. He came to call the sinner, the unrighteous, the unholy, who feels his unholiness. Calls you to repentance. Repentance and remission of sin go together. There will be no remission. That means pardon. That means liberty. That means deliverance. That means heaven at last. It means being saved from hell. There'll be none of that if there's no repentance. They are married together. You can't divide them asunder. But where God gives repentance, he will also give remission of sin. And what is repentance? It's a heartfelt sorrow for your sin before God. It's a realization of how you've repaid your kind God, who has been nothing but kind to you from the moment of your conception till now. How he has looked after you. How he has supplied your need. Have you ever gone hungry? Have you ever not had enough to drink? Have you ever had not enough to wear? Have you ever not had a roof over your head? It's God that's given you those things. And much more besides. And how have we repaid him? With those very gifts, we have sinned against him. We've done Satan's work. We've pleased Satan. And we've displeased God. The knowledge of that will bring you to repentance. And then again, repentance means a change. After all, if somebody wronged you greatly, and then came to you and told you that they were sorry, then carried on doing the same thing that they'd done the next day, you wouldn't think very much of their sorrow, would you? And so, with real repentance, there's a change in life. There's a change in conduct. There's a change in direction. Again, as go back to this morning, we are journeying. We're all journeying. And until you're given that repentance, you're journeying the wrong way. You're journeying to hell. But the first step on that journey to heaven is repentance. That change, that call by grace, that being born again, as we have here in the beginning of the chapter. A change. A change of masters. A change of appetite. Whereas before the new birth, just like before you were born, you didn't eat or drink, did you? You didn't have any idea of this life. You didn't know anyone. But after your birth, naturally it was different, wasn't it? From the day of your birth, you needed food. From the day of your birth, you began to recognize your parents. From the day of your birth, you needed taking care of, clothing, warmth. And so it is with the new birth before that event takes place. The gospel can be preached clearly and faithfully and it will mean nothing to you. Because you're dead. But once this new birth takes place, this new life is given, it will be different. You'll have a different appetite. You'll go after different things, no longer. Will you come reluctantly to the Lord's house, wishing it was over? Now you'll come prayerfully. Now you'll listen, and you'll be disappointed if you leave the house of God and your case was not met. Now the Bible will no longer be a closed book, only read on the Lord's Day. You know, there's something wrong with your religion if you never open the Word of God when you're not here in this house of prayer. Dreadfully wrong. When did you last open the Word of God alone in secret? If you've got this new life within, that'll be one of the things that you will know. And you'll learn to go secretly when no one else can see you and read the Word of God. Because this is your food. In this precious book, you'll find Christ. Food to which the world's a stranger, says the hymn writer in that hymn 43 on the Word of God. Precious Bible, what a treasure does the Word of God afford. All I want for life or pleasure, food and medicine, shield and sword, is revealed in Jehovah's sacred word. Food to which the world's a stranger, here my hungry soul enjoys. Of excess there is no danger, though it fills, it never cloys, while the Spirit to my heart its truth applies. Child of God, often be found in the Word of God, as often as you can. This is one of the reasons Satan so often is successful, isn't he? Have you remembered what the sword is that we are told to use? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we come under temptation, when we come under Satan's attack, because we are going to. It's a battle. Satan's not going to leave you alone. You need a sword. The reasons, believer, why you so often are defeated is because you're using the wrong sword. You're using the sword of your own sincerity. Using the sword of your own strength. That's not the right sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the only sword that will be successful in this battle. And how can you wield the Word of God if you don't know what it says? This is one of the reasons why we are commanded to search the Scriptures daily, so that when Satan comes to us in an unwary moment and tempts us in a particular sin, we may say, "No, Satan, it is written." May you and I be able to approach the Word of God like that day by day. Pray to God as you open it that he'll guide you to a portion which will help you on that battlefield to come during that day. If you know this new birth, if you know this gift of repentance, if you know this gift of faith, you're going to know this battle. It won't be easy, it will be a struggle. But you're also going to know God's delivering grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm told these two verses are the most oft translated in various languages in the world, and what precious words they are. For God so loved the world. It doesn't just say he loved the world, he so loved. The emphasis is on the love of God here, his great love for sinners. He overflows with love for sinners, with goodwill. You remember the message of the angels, and they were sent from God, so the message really was from God, goodwill toward men. Goodwill. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him at Bethlehem. The proof of his love. He would not see his people perish. And this phrase, the world here, I know that This is often used, isn't it, as a proof of universal redemption. It doesn't mean that. You have to understand the context here, and also the time in which Jesus was speaking. He was speaking to Nicodemus, a Jew, a Pharisee. And at this time, the Jews believed that they were the only ones, the only nation whom God loved. They didn't believe it was possible in this day and generation that a Gentile could be saved. And what the Lord here is saying to Nicodemus, and beginning to say to those who followed him, that it's not just the Jews, it's the Gentiles. So the world here means the elect, Jew and Gentile. For God so loved the world. He so loved his chosen ones, his elect, his sheep, that for them he gave his only begotten Son to save. Tis the gospel's joyful tidings. Full salvation sweetly sounds. Grace to heal thy foul backslidings. Sinner flows from Jesus' wounds. There is salvation nowhere else. But there is free, full, and sufficient salvation here for all your deepest need. Are thy sins beyond recounting? Like the sands the ocean laves, Jesus is of life, the fountain. He unto the utmost saves. It's another word, isn't it, for whosoever, uttermost. You an uttermost sinner? You've gone to the greatest lengths possible in sin, like John Newton did? You read his life before his conversion. And you'll be shocked. And even the hardened seamen of his day were shocked at his depravity. And yet, what did that man write? What did that uttermost sinner write? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace those fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Now, why not you? Don't despair. Don't give up. Don't say there's no hope. There is hope. Because God has sent forth his Son into the world for sinners. Even sinners as great as you are. For God so loved the world, and he sent his Son to Calvary. And again, go back to what we said earlier, as we considered the conservative estimate for one person's sin. You think of the whole elect of grace. How many sins must have been placed on the Saviour's holy head that day as he was held to account on Calvary's cross. And how he was called to account for each and every one of those sins. It is a weight that we cannot begin to fathom or understand or comprehend. And yet you see there at Calvary the love of God in Christ. In love, the Saviour still went to Calvary. He still paid the price. Even though it meant he had to drink that wrath, that cup of vengeance. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord went through ere he found his sheep that was lost. But he found it. So, poor sinner, this evening, do not despair. Come to God as that greatest of sinners. Plead his word, and he won't cast you away. And those of you who this evening come into the Lord's house feeling to be a backsliding sinner, you've tasted the Lord is gracious. You've known this experience of the new birth. You've known that change. But now you're backslidden, like Peter did. In the judgment hall, like David did with Bathsheba. Like Abraham did when he said his wife was his sister. This word includes a backslider. Both the backslider in heart and the backslider in deed. And all backsliding begins in a heart with a heart. Grace to heal thy foul backsliding sinner flows from Jesus' wounds. You remember Jonah, how he deliberately went out from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord in love and mercy saved him, did he not? He didn't leave him to die in that whale. His faithful love went after him, and yes, he reproved him. Yes, he chastised him, but he did not reject him. He won't reject you. Where did Jonah have to come to? Lo, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. That's where you've got to come to. Look again to the mercy seat. That's what was in that temple, wasn't it? That mercy seat pointed to Calvary yet to come. Really, Jonah was looking to Calvary. That's where you've got to look. And even the backslider in heart and deed, Jesus receives. And Jesus heals. The time is gone, so I must close this evening. We've only just introduced the subject, haven't we? You must meditate yourself on this word. Take it to your God in prayer and ask him to fulfill it for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, a gift, not earned or merited, a gift, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That first time he sent his Son to save. But one day he's going to send his Son a second time. This next verse speaks about being condemned if we believe not. Noah, in that ark, was safe, wasn't he? But those outside weren't. Once that door was shut, their judgment was sealed. It was too late. No matter how hard they cried, one day, God is sending his Son again into this world, and he will condemn the unbeliever. And then, sinner, it will be too late. Take this word home. And ask God to give you that faith. To flee to refuge in that only place of safety. Which our ark is a type, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £765, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a prayer meeting for members on Friday evening, and Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day and also hopes to address the Sunday School. And the collections today are for the TBS Auxiliary. Let us close with hymn 202. Now may the Lord reveal his face and teach our stammering tongues to make his sovereign reigning grace the subject of our songs. 202.
Thank you.
Almighty God, give us that faith to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And may that faith bring forth fruit in our lives to thine honour, praise and glory. Do pardon and forgive all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this day. Bless thine own word unto us. May it be manna to feed us, and a sword to defend us in the unknown way. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest, rule, and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.